And that's our prayer tonight, Jesus, that You would be magnified. Lord, we come from a busy day. Every one of us come from a busy day today. We come from a lot of life issues going on. But Lord, we've come for a moment to quiet our souls, to look to You. Lord, to make our ears attentive to Your voice and to open our hearts to receive whatever You want to give us. And so, Lord, right now, in this moment, our prayer is that You would take our focus off everything going on around us. And Lord, that it would be placed squarely on You. Be magnified tonight, Jesus. Lord, we love You and we trust You. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to Wednesday night. And I'm a little bit taller and not any less fat than the guy who's normally talking in here tonight. And so you're probably wondering what's going on. Pastor Jamie is up in Columbus, Ohio. He is our Yankee revivalist, okay? He's I think, the only Yankee we've allowed on our staff. And so anytime they need a revival up north, we just send him. And because he can speak their language, you know, without saying y'all or anything like that, you know. And so we're excited. He'll be back later in the week. But tonight we're going to kick off a new series that'll last through the month of November. Now, something big happens in November. Anybody know what it is?
My birthday.
My birthday, too. Thank you. You Thanksgiving people were wrong. My birthday. Me and Mickey Mouse were born on the same day. So that's the big day. Not the same year, no. No, me and Mickey Mouse really were. Isn't that crazy? He was drawn, and we won't go into how I got here. But, no, Thanksgiving. How many of you, during your Thanksgiving celebrations every year, you have Thanksgiving celebrations, right? Yeah. How many of you genuinely give thanks during those moments? Anybody? Raise your hand if you genuinely give thanks. That's awesome. How many of you genuinely give thanks after they're over? That's me. After everybody's left, there's some leftover turkey and dressing for a sandwich. That's when I'm giving thanks. Lord, thank You that we made it through another year of this. But we're excited because for the month of November, we're going to take a moment to go to the Psalms. And we're going to look at some of Israel's greatest worship songs. You know, that's what the Psalms really are. You know, if you grew up in a traditional church, people used to say the Psalms were Israel's hymnal. Now, here at Hillview Heights Church, if you've never been in another church, you don't know what a hymnal is. And so for us, the Psalms are those big screens over there where they put the words to the songs we sing. But you know what was great about the Psalms? Israel, the people of Israel were very honest. And man, when it was time to praise God, which is all the time, but when it was time to really praise God, man, they laid it down and they praised God with all they had. And when it was time to thank God, they cried out and they thanked God for everything they had been given. And when they were in a pit, they didn't lie about it. Now, here in the church, we do. You know, I don't know about y'all. I've got a church face. Do y'all have a church face? My wife, when we first got married, she saw me put on my church face one day. The world was falling apart around us. We'd been married for 3 weeks. Her mother had just died, and things were not great. Okay? But I had to come be at church, and so I walk in, and all of a sudden, you know, we're kind of having a tough time, and it just clicks. And all of a sudden, I'm smiling, and, hey, how you doing? I'm fine. It's so good to see you, Miss Marion. We're glad you're here tonight. Boy, God's good, isn't He? Y'all have a church face like that? I do. Maybe I'm just the only liar in this room. I don't know, but I do. But you know what? Israel was brutally honest, and when it stunk, they said it stunk. And when it was great, they said it was great. And no matter what, they talked to God about it. No matter what, they humbled themselves enough to go before the Almighty because they knew one thing to be true. Whatever their problem was, whatever their praise was, whatever they were thankful for, He's the one who can get them through it, who can get them out of it, and who gave it to them in the first place. And so they knew where it was coming, and they knew where it needed to go. And so tonight, and over the next few weeks, we're going to look at Psalm 40. Psalm 40. If you got your Bibles, go on and flip there. If you want to know where the Psalms are, first of all, the book starts with a P. It's the P Psalms. P-S-A-L-M-S. The P is silent, kind of like in Scarborough. Many of you don't know Keith Scarborough's last name has a P in the front of it. It's P-Scarborough, but we just call it Scarborough. But if you want to know where the Psalms are in your Bible, if you'll take it and go just under halfway and just open it, you'll be in the Psalms, okay? Go into Psalm 40. And let me read the first three verses. That's what we're going to cover tonight. Psalm 40, this is a Psalm of David. That means King David was the one that wrote this. And he says this, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. These are the words of our God. And he starts by saying, I have waited patiently for the Lord. How many of you like to wait? Anybody? I don't see any hands. I hate to wait. I hate to wait, and it doesn't matter what it's for. I hate waiting in traffic. I hate wait. How many of you have done this? You've been on a two-lane, you know, two lanes going the same way, and the car in front of you is going kind of slow, and you get impatient, get right up on them, and then jump over into the other lane, and all of a sudden that whole lane stops, and you can't get back over into the lane that's moving? Isn't that dumb? They did a study on traffic jams, like in big cities like Nashville, when you're trying to get into Nashville in the morning. It's horrible. It's horrible. And, you know, you've got these idiots who bounce from lane to lane to lane to lane to lane. And you just said, that's me. And we got it on tape. That bounce from lane to lane. And you know what they did? They did a study and they put two cars on the road and said, you stay in the same lane no matter what. And you bounce from lane to lane to lane. And guess what? The car that stayed in the same lane got there quicker. It's crazy. But I hate to wait. So that's me too. I'm over here. It's a wonder I'm still alive. I'm probably been cussed more than anybody in this room. I hate to wait. I've been trying to further my education and get into another program, and I've been waiting for a letter in the mail saying, yes, you're invited. How many of you have waited on a letter? You go to the mail every single day. I never go to the mail. That's my wife's job. But for the past 2 months, I've gone to the mail every single day. I hate waiting. Doctor's offices, same way. Disney World. I told my wife, I said, honey, she brought up Disney World. I said, let me tell you how we're going to do Disney World. You figure out how many kids we're going to have, okay? Then we're going to have them, and you figure out what age you want to take them, because I'm going once. One time, and that's all the Disney World daddy's going to do. Now, if you want to take them on your own, that's fine, but uh-uh. Stand in a line for 4 hours to sit in a seat that's not big enough for me to ride a ride for 30 seconds, I don't think so. Anyway. Doctor's offices. How many of y'all have ever had any tests run at the doctor? Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun? I remember being 14. Went back in the back room of the doctor's office, back to his little office for the first time by myself. Usually mom went with me. And when mom goes with you, it's like a buffer. Nothing he does can hurt you except for shots. So I went back for the first time, and the doctor looks at me. I had this big old thing come up on the side of my neck, and he goes, we need to take some blood, but you're going to have to come back on Monday to do it. It was a Saturday. He said, you know, it could be nothing or it could be leukemia. Have a good weekend. That was not a fun first time back in the doctor's office, okay? So not only did I have to wait to take the test, for some reason, a lot of the people, and if this is you, don't be offended, but for some reason, the people who run the labs don't ever get in a hurry. Maybe they just have a bazillion things to do, but it's like when it's my blood that you're testing, it's the most important. All right, I want to write that on this. Do this number one and tell me immediately. I hate to wait. But the psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord. The worst waiting is waiting on God, isn't it? Y'all ever had to wait on God before? Because see, those are kind of pithy, you know, grow up, be an adult about it and deal with it. But what if it's things like waiting for a healing? What if it's things like waiting for provision? You know, God said that He would provide for all our needs, and He does. But what if you're waiting for it? What if it's things like waiting for children? You know, there are couples in this room who have tried and tried to have kids. And while the journey has been fun, it gets old. And you really want children. There's people in this room who have had children, and they've run off, and they've become prodigal. And you're waiting on the Lord for the return of that prodigal child. Because you remember the promise of Scripture that if you raise up a child in the ways of the Lord, what's going to happen? When he is old, he will what? Return to them. And so you're waiting on a prodigal child. Others of you are waiting to get out of whatever pit you're in. See, I love about Israel, they were honest about where they were. And sometimes it stinks. Sometimes life is hard, and sometimes you find yourself in a place that you don't want to be, and there's no way out. You ever been in a pit? You ever been in a pit, just stuck? I guess this was like 1984 or 86. You remember? Yeah, we'll come back to that. You remember the little baby Jessica? They got caught in that well. You remember that? And just how the nation's attention went to that. It was in Texas, wasn't it? Went to that town in Texas where that little baby girl was stuck down in that well. And all that they had to do for so many hours to get her out. But she just couldn't move. And in fact, if she moved, it just made it worse. And her bones were distended and her joints were distended. And all they could do as parents was wait for all these rescuers to get their little girl out of the pit. And so many times in our own lives, the same thing is true. We get in a pit and it doesn't matter how we wiggle, it just gets worse. And we have to wait on God. And you know, sometimes God moves immediately and sometimes He doesn't, does He? See, this is hard. I wish I could stand up here and say, yes, if you'll just cry out to the Lord, He'll immediately hear, pull you out of that pit and everything will be fine. But 95% of you would know that I'm lying or Jesus is lying. One. Right? Sometimes you have to wait to get out of that pit. Sometimes you have to wait longer than you wanted to get out of that pit. But you know what? Sometimes God leaves us in there for a little while for a reason. One, maybe it's not time to get out yet. Maybe if we got out right now, things would be worse than they were before. Maybe He's teaching us something through that pit. Maybe He's showing us something. Maybe He's teaching us to trust Him instead of trying to figure it out ourselves. You know, the psalmist said, I waited for the Lord patiently. And then here's the miracle. The miracle. He turned to me and He heard my cry. You know, we don't really think, well, that's great. That's awesome. We've been studying the story of Exodus this year. We get God hears the cries of His people. But do you realize what a miracle that is? That God would listen to you. Have you ever been around a famous person? I don't forget, we had a military funeral here one time. And the then governor of the state, it's not the current governor, but the then governor got out. And I don't know, what do you think about him politically? I'm not going to say his name. But he got out of that limo, and man, he was slicker than snot on a doorknob. I mean, he was slick, buddy. He had it down. And he gets out, and here I am, little preacher boy. You know, I'm not even a big preacher boy. Well, I am a big preacher boy, but on the hierarchy, I'm a little preacher boy and all that. And he gets out, and buddy, he's got his hair perfect and all that. And, you know, I looked at him and said, how you doing, sir? And he's like, and just keeps on going. And you ever been around somebody kind of like big name like that, kind of famous? Been around Keith Scarborough, Jamie Ward, any of those kind of people. You know, the famous people, you know. No, but famous people. And you just kind of know, wow. And they don't really listen to you. Jamie and Keith do. But they don't really care about you as long as you keep buying their album or as long as you keep voting for them or as long as you keep doing whatever you're doing to make them famous or rich. Yeah. God could so be like that with us. God could so be like that with us. God doesn't have to hear our cry. God would be totally justified in tuning us out forever. God would be totally justified in leaving us to our own devices. God would be totally justified in not intervening at all in our lives. He really would. But because of His great love for us, He doesn't. And this is a miracle that I waited patiently for the Lord and that He would turn and He would hear my cry. And listen to what He did. Verse 2, He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. How many of y'all have been lifted by the Lord in this room? You've been lifted by the Lord? See, that illustration of the baby Jessica, that's us. That is us. When you are stuck in a pit and every move you make just wedges you in tighter and you can't get out, and even if you wiggle, it just makes it worse, somebody has to come get you. And that's where we all were in our sin. You see, we had walked into the pit of our own sin and we had gotten ourselves to a place that we couldn't get out of. And God had to step in, because if God didn't step in and pull us out of the pit, we weren't getting out. That's why as Christians, we live in the land of thanksgiving. I think back to your life before Jesus saved you. Think back to your life. Think back to the struggles you had. Think back to the gut-wrenching moments you had. Did you have some? Because see, I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of sin fun when I was before Christ. But I always had a next morning. And that sick feeling you get. And it's not just from a hangover every time. Sometimes you've done something to somebody, you've done something with somebody, and it makes you absolutely miserable. Think of where you were before Jesus pulled you up. You couldn't climb out on your own. It took Jesus coming down and grabbing a hold of us and lifting us out of that pit, lifting us out of the slime, lifting us out of the muck, lifting us out of the nastiness, and setting our feet on the solid rock. Sunday, Pastor Steve tried to quote a hymn in three services. He got it wrong three times. But he's quoting a hymn, and I told him about this, so I'm not speaking out of turn. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Y'all remember that hymn? All other ground is what? In this church, one of the great hymns of 10 years ago was Jesus, Lover of My Soul. You remember that song? Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Jesus, I will never let You go. You've taken me from the miry clay. You set my feet upon the rock. And now I know that I love You and I need You. And though my world may fall, I'll never let You go. Jesus, Lover of My Soul. It is amazing what God has done in our lives in saving us. You know, if God just saved us and that was it, that's enough. But He's done so much more. I'm looking around this room and there are some of you in this room who have overcome cancer. Amen. You're a survivor. You have made it through. When the doctor looked at you and said, it is impossible. You have 6 to 8 weeks. You have 6 to 12 months. You have 1 to 2 years. Then that is all you will have. And God said, that is not true, doc. For I have better purpose for them. Lenny Cialona, you should have been dead 10 times over. I've been in the hospital with you enough times now, with you and Miss Lynn, and watch God basically raise you from the dead about 5 times. And why? You didn't do it on your own, did you? I've seen you. You were in the hospital. You don't even remember us being there. And God lifted you up. Why? Because you went to the jail the other day. And God used that. And He's still using it. You know, you look around this room and this room is dotted with miracles. This room is dotted with people who have overcome unbelievable situations, but it wasn't them who overcame them. It was God who pulled them out. It was God who lifted them up. It was God who got them out and set them on solid ground. And maybe you're in this room tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you don't get that just yet, but you can. Because right now the pit you're in is the pit of your own sin. And it's slimy and it's murky and it's nasty. It's like a stagnant pond. You ever been around a stagnant pond? Everything stinks around a stagnant pond. But if you're around it long enough, you don't smell it anymore, do you? And so when we're stuck in our sin, we're sitting there in like what is equivalent to a stagnant pond, but we don't even smell how nasty it is. And until you get somebody who's been in the fresh air, until you get somebody who's been pulled away from that for long enough and they come by, they smell it and they smell you. And all of our sin is the same. It all stinks. If you're a murderer, your sin stinks. If you're hateful, your sin stinks. If you cheated on your spouse, your sin stinks. If you look at pornography all the time, your sin stinks. And it all stinks. If you're an alcoholic, your sin stinks. If you're a drug addict, your sin stinks. If you are a jealous human being, your sin stinks. If you gossip all the time, your sin stinks. It all stinks. And there's only one way to be pulled out of that pit and away from that stench. And His name is Jesus. The psalmist goes on. He says this. Verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. You know, some of you in this room have asked me, why did God bring me through that? Why did God bring me through that? You want to know why? Because He put a new song in your mouth. You quit singing the same old tune of woe is me, and you began to sing how great is our God. He put a new song in your mouth. He put a new step to your feet. And many, many, many have seen what He has done in your life. That's why God's brought you through that. Because many will see and fear and know. What does it say? Many will see and fear, and then they will put their trust in the Lord. You have a story. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have a story. I have a buddy of mine who several years ago was struck by lightning. I told him he needed to play the lottery. He was struck by lightning. And so when we sing that song, who has told every lightning bolt where it should go, I always look at him because I'm like, dude, whew, that's rough. No kidding. He'd been struck by lightning. He was working on his farm, got hit by lightning, and threw him 30 feet from the fence he was working on. And it was on a clear day. He wasn't being stupid trying to work in a rainstorm. You know what? They didn't think he'd make it through. They took him down to Vanderbilt. He was in there. He had internal third-degree burns. Not external, internal third-degree burns. I said, what'd it feel like? He said, it felt like I was boiling from the inside out. I said, for how long? He said, for about 2 weeks. Boiling from the inside out. And he never signed up for that. He didn't go to a prayer meeting and say, Lord, I'd just love to be hit by lightning. I'd love to see what that's like. You know, the guy on the great outdoors, he's been hit by lightning. You remember the guy? I'd just like to see what that's like. He didn't do that. But it happened. It happened. And God brought him through it. And God gave him a new song. And so I watch him when we sing that song. And he sings that line. Because he knows that even though that moment of life hit him and that lightning bolt went through him and threw him 30 feet and he was in the hospital for months, even though all that happened, that the God of his salvation, who sent his son Jesus Christ to die for him, had lifted him out of that pit and put a new song in his mouth. We all have stuff. We all have stuff. And if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you have a story. You have a story that people need to hear. And I'm not saying we're going to give you a microphone and stand up here and tell it. God didn't make it for that, probably. But He probably gave you that story very intentionally. Because God not only knows the people that you live with, work with, play with, hang around with. He made them. And He put them there by you. And He gave you a story to tell. He put a new song in my mouth. You know, this morning at 3:20 a.m., I got a phone call. My grandmother, who'd been battling lung cancer for a while, died. And she went home to be with the Lord at 3:20 in the morning. Many of you have reached out to my mom. I really appreciate that and keep it up. But 3:20 in the morning. And so all day has been spent at the funeral home and doing things that you got to do and all that. And you know what the greatest news is? Right now, our family faces the pit of grief for a lost loved one. You know, my mother just lost her mama. That's a hard thing. And we face that. But you know what we know? That God's going to teach us through this. And God's going to shape us through this. And God's going to mold us through this. And any of you that have lost a loved one, whoever it may be, you know that God will speak to your heart through it. And He'll reveal more of Himself to you. And He'll reveal just how much He loves you. Part of it's through people like Helen and Kathy Truelock. Part of it's through people like Miss Marion and Michael. The McLeods. Because what happens is when you go through a pit, God mobilizes His people. And His people will rally around you and love on you and pick you up. And through His people, Jesus will lift you out of that pit and set your feet on solid ground when you think there'll never be more solid ground to stand on. You know it. You know it. Because God's done it in your life too. And God's timing is perfect. You know, my mother said to me today, she said, you know, she said, I hate to lose my mother, but the Lord gave us a gift. He gave us a gift of a little bit of time where we could come back and really, really strengthen our relationship stronger than it ever was before. And that's huge. And God will show you that His timing is perfect. Even in the midst of a pit, when you want Him to get you out right now. So tonight we're going to have an altar. I don't know what your pit is. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I do know that Jesus does. For some of you, you're dealing with grief. Some of you just entered that journey and others have been there for a while. And maybe your cry tonight, Lord, needs to be, Lord, I wait patiently for You, but I know this, You hear. You hear. And You'll lift me out of this pit. For some of you, the pit is addiction. For some of you, the pit is despair over a loved one who is doing things that you know they shouldn't be doing, and their life is not going the way you think it should go. And maybe our cry tonight is, Lord, I will wait on You and I will trust You, but Lord, I know You'll hear. And so I'm going to keep on crying out. And then for some of you in this room tonight, your pit is your own sin because you have never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. You've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Several months ago, I sat down with my grandmother and I had a big old, big old uncomfortable conversation. You know, I'm a preacher. People pay me to do this. People pay me to share the gospel. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever done to sit down with a family member and talk to them about Jesus. But you know what? I did that with my other grandmother. I did that with my father, I did that with my grandfather, and I did that with this grandmother. And every time I was sweating, and I was butterflies, and I was nervous, I can tell you people about it all day, something about them. And I shared the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that while God had created them and loved them, they were sinners who had broken God's law and who had destroyed all hope of heaven in their lives. But that God loved them too much to not give them a shot to stay out of hell. So He sent His own Son, Jesus, who lived a sinless, perfect life and then died on a cross for their sin to pay the full price for all of it. And then on the third day, He arose from the grave and He's alive today. And His call to us is that we would turn to Him, repent of our sin. And that means confess we are sinners and turn away from that sin and believe that He is Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Messiah. And trust our lives to Him. You know what was great about those conversations that scared me to death? I found out that my family members knew Jesus. And so today, a little over 12 hours after my grandmother left this earth, I can say with full assurance that I know where she is. That because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, she is sealed by the Holy Spirit, taken into the presence of Jesus Himself, and she is secure with Him. And that's okay. And there is no hope greater than that. But there is no despair greater than not knowing. And so tonight, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to invite you to come. People are going to be coming to the altar to pray anyway. You come on up. We've got some pastors up here, and we'd love to pray with you. So let's stand together. Let's stand together. And let's join our hearts together in prayer. Heavenly Father, You are in this place. And Lord, I don't know where everybody is. I know where I am. But I know that You know where everybody in this room is. I know that You know that some folks in this room have yet to give their lives to You, Jesus. Have yet to come in repentance and faith and say, Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to follow You. Lord, I know You know that there are people in this room who do know You, but they've yet to be baptized because, Lord, for some reason, they're ashamed of this reality that You've brought about in their lives. And I pray You'd take away that shame. And Lord, for the rest of us, whatever pit we're dealing with, whatever thing we've got to be patient with, whatever we're doing in life right now, I pray that we would bring it to this altar, bow down on our knees, and lift it up to You, for we know that You are the one who hears us. No matter what. And You answer us no matter what. And so, Lord, teach us at this altar to trust You. Lord Jesus, our prayer is that You would do whatever You want at this altar for Your glory. In Jesus' name, this altar.